At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
To Bollywood for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
I'm Matt Bowes. In this Netflix and Dill episode, we head to the lawless deserts with Homi Adejania's blood-soaked hot star crime drama, Sas Bahu or Flamingo.
Who will Dimple Kapadia choose as the successor to her drug empire? One of her inane sons? Her talented daughter? One of her clever daughters-in-law? Does it even matter? It's unlikely any of them are going to make it out alive anyways.
Before we begin, we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
We are finally delivering on our promise from a few episodes ago to discuss Sas Bahu or Flamingo.
Yeah, we wanted to watch some more, though, out of the pilot season, so we'll probably watch some of the other shows. We haven't watched any of them yet, either, though.
Yeah, so for those who, you know, maybe didn't listen to that episode, it was a few back. We ended up bumping it for a review of Rocky Aur Rani Ki Prem Kahani with our friend Manish Mathur. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is coming out a little later than we initially anticipated, but hopefully worth the wait. But for those who didn't listen...
The show's still there. You can go watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's leaving theaters or anything.
Well, exactly. Sometimes these streaming shows, it feels like they're such a flash in the pan. Like, they come out, people watch them, and then they move on to the next thing.
And no one watched this one, so...
Well, no, it was at one point one of the most watched things streaming in India. Hmm. So,
that's
you know...
Good.
Yeah, it's... This is not a totally forgettable show, I don't think. But, yeah, maybe we are a little late to the party. So, a couple episodes ago, we did this thing we have done before called Pilot Season, where we watched the first episode of six different streaming series, and we picked one to review. And the winner was Sas Bahu or Flamingo. But as Matt has already alluded to, I think like we also really want to catch up with how Tooth Party went, which I do think is...
And The Night Manager, too. I think we wanted to watch that.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, and Dahat. Like, I think we'd actually like to finish off most of those shows, except for Bestseller, which we watched for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think Tooth Party is probably the one that, other than Bestseller, that has left kind of the smallest footprint. So I would kind
That's
of...
That's too bad. Tooth Party's really good.
Well, we... From the one episode. We really enjoyed the one episode. And since we did that pilot season episode, like, there's been another Raj and DK show that everyone's talking about. So we're really behind on our streaming TV.
We've been watching Western TV like idiots. What's wrong with us?
So Sas Bahu or Flamingo. It's 8 episodes long. It came out on May 5th, 2023 on Hotstar. It's directed and created by Homi Adejania, who is a director we quite like. His mm-hmm. name on this show, I think, is certainly... His name and the cast, I think, are the things that really drew us to it, this show in particular.
And the premise.
Yeah. We've discussed some of his films in the past, specifically being Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Fanny and Grezzy Medium. I don't think we've ever discussed Cocktail, though it's probably his most popular film.
We've mentioned, like, Why Would I Wear Pants in My Own House?
Fairly often. We've mentioned Cocktail, but I don't think we've ever, like, actually reviewed it on the show. But that's...
We like Cocktail. That's probably one of my favorite ones of his, actually.
Yeah, probably his most popular film.
Yeah.
The show stars...
His most straightforward. The rest are kind of a little wacky.
Yeah, this to me feels most in line with like being Cyrus in the sense that it's kind of like a twisty crime drama. I almost called it a Christie.
Like a Christie. A Christie crime drama?
Yeah, no, a twisty crime drama. Though this is, I would say, a lot more violent than any of his films, for sure.
Yeah.
But still that kind of sense of dark humor that you see in his movies. And again, just kind of like twists. But usually, I think, well-plotted out twists. Like, Cocktail doesn't really have as many twists as I think things like Finding Fanny or Being Cyrus do. But, yeah, just, like, dark humor. So this stars Dimple Kapadia, who is also in Being Cyrus and Finding Fanny and Grezzy Medium. She's, you know...
Among hundreds of other things, yeah.
Well, but she's worked with Homi Adejania a lot in the past.
Yeah.
Isha Talwar, Angi Radar, Radhika Madan, who is also in Angrezi Medium, Varun Mitra, Ashish Verma, Udit Arora, Monica Dogra, Jimmich Trivedi, Mark Bennington, and Deepak Dobriel and Nazirudin Shah. Do you want to set up the plot for us, Matt?
Okay, so this takes place... in very deserty, where was it?
It's a fictional. It's a fictional place. I think most of the women in it are Rajasthani, but like could be between the borders of Rajasthan and Gujarat.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever entirely clear.
Yeah, I think that's why I was a little confused because I'm pretty sure they said the state name before, but I never heard it, so I was a little confused by that. But it almost looks like where Rudali takes place,
yes.
The movie.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Those lawless desert borderlands.
With kind of like tribal people. And it's like the big arm circlets and things and tattoos. And it's a very memorable look that everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
But the first episode, which we talked about in pilot season, we find out that... the Rudali herself, Dimple Kapadia. It's kind of fun to imagine this is what happened to that character. She runs a drug empire, which I don't think you find out in the first episode, but you find out fairly early. They've actually figured out a way to grow cocaine in India, which is something I didn't actually know about cocaine, that it is only able to be done in Central America and South America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Which makes
sense. I've
never
really given a lot of thought to cocaine production, to be honest.
But it makes sense that that's why it's so popular there and centered there. If it's something in the terrain or the terroir of the cocaine growing plants, that it only works there, that makes a lot more sense. Because there's lots of places all over the world that grow opium, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she runs, I forget the name, is it Ronnie Factory? Ronnie Company?
Mm-hmm.
She basically... Ronnie Collective?
Yes.
Ronnie Collective. She runs essentially what's like a women's charity that makes like handicrafts, and she employs probably like 200, 250 women. And
sure, they're making like the Rajasthani puppets.
Yeah. But what they're actually doing behind the scenes is like a highly sophisticated drug operation.
Yeah.
Like there's like clean rooms and very high tech... lots of solar panels, all kinds of things, but they're hiding kind of behind this facade of handicrafts. And she is looking to get out of the game, so she's looking to find a successor. Her two sons are shiftless layabouts.
Well, in their defense...
they're well off. They don't actually know why.
In their defense, she sent them off to the United States. They come back, once a year... their wives are still there, but she keeps them at an arm's length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's Harish, who's the shorter one. He's introduced memorably by doing blow off a stripper's ass, which is a prostitute's ass. So that's kind of a cool way to be introduced. And then his brother, I think that's Kapil, so Varun Mitra. And they are kind of the... there's a lot of funny things that happen in this show. It's a pretty comedic show. But for the first couple of episodes, they're kind of encountering culture shock. Even though they're from there, but they're like, a camel is scary. Or why do we have to drive for 4 hours to get anywhere? But they sort of get more in the game as it goes on.
Yeah, the big kind of twist, you could say, or kind of conceit... in the earlier episodes, is that Harish and Kapil, while they're Ranibaugh's sons, they don't really know what's going on, and it's actually their wives, Bijli and Kajal, who are a lot more competent than they are, and they're the ones that are making drugs, and they're the ones that are involved in gunfights and all this stuff. And so it does a good job of kind of twisting those typical gender conventions that you expect from a crime drama like this, from a gangster
like Mirzapur, like, for instance.
Exactly. And so I would say, like, that was initially kind of the draw of the show for us, because like there are tons of these. Especially in
small town gangsterism,
especially in the like Hindi language streaming space, there are a ton of these shows about kind of like the lawless borderlands and kind of the gangster families therein. But the big twist for this one was
it's the ladies in charge,
and so you know,
we should also mention Radhika Madan.
Itself as feminist. Yeah.
Radhika Madan is a blood relative. She's their little sister, but she's like the chemist who invents new drugs.
Yeah,
Angi Radar plays Kajal. I think her job was kind of just to be like the muscle, but also like keep people in line.
Yeah.
And then Isha Tawar pays Bijli, and I believe she's like the accountant and logistics.
And also a lesbian.
Yeah, she's introduced hooking up with a DJ in Berlin. Gotta say, that DJ, terrible actress. She comes up later. She's really bad. Probably the worst part of the whole show.
Yeah. Apologies to Monica Dogra.
She was not. I don't know if her Hindi was convincing, but her English was definitely not convincing.
I think she's more of a musician than an actress. I know she was in like the Rock On films, but I think her strengths are elsewhere.
So this is a kind of succession scenario. If you've seen that show on HBO, like who's going to inherit the mantle? Who's going to be able to run this thing?
It's Mirzapur meets Succession.
Yeah, but not all is well. There is Deepak Dobrial waiting in the wings. He plays another drug smuggler named the Monk, who has had dealings with Savitri, the Dipakapati's character, in the past. He actually shot her at one point. She's got a bullet hole on her side because of him. And there's also Proshan Jain, who is a cop who is sent to this lawless province to figure out who's making Flamingo, which is this new drug, party drug, that's getting people very excited in the cities. But it only matters because, like, an MP's son died taking some.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the initial problem, is that there's a cop there, other drug smugglers are waiting in the wings, as well as who's going to run this thing. Also, Demon is there. He's kind of her adopted son. I think they could have made this a bit more obvious to me, that everyone thinks of Demon as her adopted son and Shanta. Like, they grew up together. They're about the same age. They're actually kind of in love with each other, but it would be seen as kind of incestuous, even though they're not related.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but, like, the show thinks that if someone finds out, it's going to be really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you initially really disliked this title, Sauce Bahu or Flamingo.
Yes, and then a listener told us that this is kind of playing off of Indian soap operas, because it's often, like, a woman moves into her her husband's parents' house, and it's like daughters-in-law versus moms.
Yeah, mother-in-law, like, daughters-in-law.
Yeah, a lot of drama
and then
there.
This drug.
And it's kind of interesting because the daughters-in-law basically get along fine with Savitri almost the entire show. There isn't really a ton of drama there. There's a little between Shanta and Savitri, who she doesn't like that she experiments on herself with the new drugs, but everyone gets along.
And she's not one of the daughters-in-law
of
the title, really.
Yeah.
Based on how I understand it, I think it really does refer to the two.
Yeah. There's also a French guy named Donze who, there's quite a lot of flashbacks in this show, too.
Yeah.
In an earlier time, maybe 20 years earlier, he's the guy that was able to figure out how to grow cocaine in this part of India.
Mm-hmm.
So, and him and Savitri are lovers, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's a lot of setup. There's a fair amount of good stuff going on in this show.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of characters.
I don't think we've given a lot away at all. Like, ultimately, kind of the main thrust of the show is who she's going to pick to be her successor,
will they get caught, and are they going to have to fight the monk?
And also, her son's kind of like finding out what's actually like they kind
finding
of
finding out the family business.
Yeah, they kind of assume that, like, their wives and their mom are kind of like hopeless. They want to bring their sister back to the U.S. And then they actually discover that, like, oh, the drug.
Oh, we're
like
the Corleones, yeah, actually.
The cocaine I snorted off that woman's butt is actually, like, what my sister made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she also invents a drug that makes you be in slow motion. Just wondering, like, is that going to come up again so that, like, she could shoot people more efficiently? I thought that'd be cool. Like, the drug from Dread, slow-mo. I thought, I was a little disappointed that didn't come up again. But lots of other cool stuff happens.
Yeah. So kind of my journey with this show is that, like, I thought it started out really fresh and interesting. A good kind of take on this kind of show that we've seen a lot of times before. And then it got really kind of typical. I especially when the flashbacks start to come in and you start to kind of discover kind of how we ended up here.
They probably explain too much. I don't know if you necessarily need everything.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a lot of stuff there that I don't know. It is very it's exactly what you expect in terms of kind of how of women needing to kind of take back their power.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the show really needed that. Like it starts to feel a bit played out to me.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Nasiruddin Shah is a kind of political type who helped Savitri out back in the day and kind of feels like she owes him.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, it started off really high, and then it kind of dipped for me, and it stayed there. And then I really came around to it in the last episode.
Yeah, we won't say not in the spoiler zone, but there's quite a few twists and turns that this thing takes.
Yeah, which I was expecting, but I do think Homi Adajania kind of goes even further than I was expecting. And I just, in the end, like, hats off, appreciated him pulling this off. I do think the thing that kind of carries you along is his sense of humor. You know, like, he really understands dark black humor. I think he understands how to play with these gender roles, and I think that kind of sense of always kind of undercutting things stops it from kind of being the like I found Mirzapur incredibly depressing to the point of unwatchable. Like, I just you know, we only watched the first season. I had no interest in watching it any further because I just kind of didn't see the point. I don't know.
This was funny, though. It had good jokes throughout.
Well, exactly. Like,
the cops are introduced waterboarding a guy with fondue. Just trying to figure out who sells him flamingo.
Exactly. I think there is, like, there's a bite to this that I think makes the violence a lot more palatable. Yeah, because, like, there's a lot of violence, which I think is something you really love.
It comes with the gangster show.
Yeah.
Well, I liked in the first episode, their compound is attacked by Magadias or, like, roaming outlaws, I suppose. And it kind of turns into, like, pulpy adventure. People just, you know, two-fisting guns, throwing swords at each other, having... It was pretty cool. Like, it was a tonal shift that I didn't see coming. And I'll say that
it does that a few more times. The best action scene of the whole series, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, unfortunately,
there's a big gunfight at the end that was pretty cool, too.
It's nowhere near as good.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what I like about this show is front-loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I actually am really excited if this gets a second season. I get the sense it's going to get a second season. It did, from what I understand, fairly well.
It's also only 8 episodes long, so you can't really get that bored of it.
But trying to get news about, like, if this got a green light for a second season or not, I find very confusing. Because the internet would tell you it has, but I couldn't find it on, like, I couldn't find an official announcement from Hotstar.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked all the relationships in the show.
Yeah.
You get a really good villain character kind of coming up later on, not the monk, but one of the main cast, I think, has an understandable villain arc, and you're like, oh, I hate this guy, but, like, I get it.
I think the central cast of women is really good.
Yep.
Dimple Kapadia, obviously, like...
Yeah.
Obviously, she's amazing.
Using different sort of muscles than Pathan, like... mother to hero,
Yeah.
She's just like a stone cold bitch the whole movie.
Yeah. Radhika Madan, I think, is like perfect casting. Yeah. You know, she's
kind of a space cadet.
Yeah. And like, you know, she's really kind of taking what she's kind of really, I think, playing on that energy that we got in Mard Kodard Nahi Hota. Like, mm-hmm. she really throws herself into action scenes, and she really, yeah, that kind of like space cadettiness is really, but clearly very intelligent.
It makes sense for someone who just ingests a lot of drugs is also.
Yeah, she's just, yeah, she's perfectly cast in this. Isha Talwar is quite good. I think Angira Dhar was the big kind of breakout for me. She was previously in Love Per Square Foot. And she was in Commando 3, but I don't remember her at all in Commando 3.
We didn't watch Commando 3,
I've
did
seen
we?
Commando 3, oh, okay. But I remember very little about it.
Because Commando 2 was the Black Money Trail. I don't remember what Commando 3 was.
I remember very little of yeah. Commando 3.
Those aren't plot movies.
Yeah, and Love Per Square Foot, like, I remember far more Vicky Kaushal.
That was his first thing, yeah.
Yeah, but I think she's, like, she really stood out to me.
Yeah.
And her character...
She looks kind of like Roz from Frasier.
Okay.
Did you see it?
No.
I thought she kind of does. Like,
okay.
Indian Roz.
If you say so.
And I always like Roz.
You are a big Roz fan.
Yeah, so...
I think, like, unfortunately, like, Isha Talwar is very good, but she has to play off of her girlfriend, the DJ, a lot, and...
Who shows up for some reason.
And I found that performance painful.
We were just kind of cheering for her, like, push her out of the tower.
Yeah, I think, like, unfortunately, to go along with her arc... you know, you have to root for, like, her and her girlfriend, right? Because she's telling her girlfriend, like, I'm going to quit this and we'll go and live
our
life.
My husband doesn't matter to me at all.
We'll go and live our life in Germany. And so you have to kind of be rooting for the two of them. But unfortunately, like...
You're not. The DJ is just such a poorly performed character.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I, even though I think this does fall into kind of some cliches, especially in the middle, it has like a strong enough beginning and a strong enough ending, that ultimately, like, I did really like it.
It kind of doesn't get too complicated, although I found that the scenes at the monk's fortress where he's like torturing some guys and making them fight each other and... One guy's got his tongue cut out and he escapes and you're like, I don't care about this. Can you just go back to the girls hanging out? Because, like, we know he's a psycho. He's like the Joker. He's like a philosophical Joker. It's fine. I get that he's supposed to be scary, but, like, he's not that interesting of a person.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, really care about him.
If I was being generous, I would say that kind of the violence that Adi Janya is, like, using all of this kind of heightened violence as a way to kind of comment on it, because I think he is making some commentary on this kind of storyline and, you know, how many times we've kind of seen some of these things before.
Hiding from rural cops.
And, yeah, certainly, you know, with what he's doing with shaking up the gender. But also at the same time, I think the show is incredibly dumb. So
yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Like, on one hand, I'm like, oh, I do see, like, how he's, like, flipping on its head and, like, maybe there's a commentary here. But then ultimately, I think it's kind of a dumb show that's just, like, made for setups and twists.
Yeah. Killing 60 people in one day. And then going back to, like, arguing with your husband about, like, I actually don't think you know what you're talking about. Like, it kind of... That's that kind of pulpiness, and...
Yeah.
It's something that there's a fancy video game term called... A video game term for it called ludonarrative dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it comes up mostly in Uncharted, but any video game where, like, you're supposed to have, like, the roguish main character who you like, but then the... Last of Us is another good one. But then, like, the most of the game sequences is you just killing, like, hundreds of men.
Mm.
And then it goes back to, like, joking around. You're like,
this guy's a mass murderer. it's fun because that's the video game.
Yeah.
Like what you're trying to do is, you know, get into gunfights and car chases and all that stuff. But then when they go back to their sort of normal conversations and problems, like, again, The Last of Us, like, fighting a ton of zombies and murdering people and all this stuff, and then, like, a father-daughter thing, it's kind of difficult to square that circle between the two of them. Because it's fun, but I don't know if it would ever deal with the ramifications of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's a good kind of... It's a good analogy to make about this show, because I do think, like, you can't take it too seriously.
No, I don't think they were taking it very seriously.
No, it is kind of ridiculous.
The monk, in his first appearance, kills, like, 15 guys by, like, giving them poison food, which he himself eats.
Yeah.
And then they have to, like, hit him in the heart with adrenaline to wake him back up. So it's, like, that sort of, like, galaxy brain sort of plans.
Yeah.
And then the last episode, oh boy, I don't even know if we should talk about it. I think everyone should go in cold, because that is some very entertaining stuff.
Like, it's not quite satire, but there is kind of this sense of just, like, heightenedness about it. Whereas I found with, like, Mirza Poor, like, I was supposed to take that seriously, and I just kind of was left very cold by it.
Weren't those guys still going to high school, even though they get into, like, a gigantic gunfight in a very well-shot gunfight with, like, drones flying around and stuff. But then it's like, you're supposed to care about, like, this guy's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure, whatever.
Yeah. There's just, like, there's a really interesting tone with this show where, on one hand, like, you're watching, like, this gender satire. On the other hand, you're watching this, like, really dark comedy. Those things kind of, like, go hand in hand. But then there is still, like, this very serious kind of crime saga at the center of it. And especially... the backstories of a lot of the women involved, and also stuff that they're still dealing with. That,
yeah, I don't know if it's making light of that stuff.
That
but
is
like,
not making light of it. It still feels kind of cliched.
Yeah,
but it is, like, it does take that stuff very seriously, and it's a
big shift.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the tonal shifts in this are really all over the place, and then we go to, like, the most hopeless of the sons, like, ingesting a ton of an experimental drug and just, like, following him for around for a while he does stupid stuff.
And, like, hallucinates.
We
and
have,
like,
some very, like, at times, like, some very difficult and serious subject matter that can be hard to watch. And then we swing into this other direction of, like, this, like, comedic bad trip.
I mean, this is not entirely unheard of. It kind of reminded me of Lijo Joe's Pellicery's Double Barrel, which was explicitly very comic booky.
Yeah.
Or Deli Belly.
Yeah.
There's a few things. As I understand it, Guns and Gulags is kind of in that too, which is the new Raja DK. So it's kind of just a popular mode, and you need to kind of turn off the sort of logical part of your brain sometimes with shows like this.
Well, and I do think that mixture kind of helps the heavier subject matter to go down a bit easier. The actress who plays young Dimple Kapadia, I think, is
she's great.
Excellent.
She has a lot of screaming to do.
Yeah, and she's, like, a good match for young Dimple Kapadia. And, like, Dimple Kapadia is giving a very strong, and I think very serious and difficult performance at the center of this. Kind of, she has to carry the thing. And from what I understand, it was actually she had a hard time on set because it was so demanding.
Huh.
But she does, like, I mean, she's got that gravitas that she kind of, like, there's all this stuff happening around her.
Yeah.
But she kind of, like, she really holds it all together. She's very strong.
There's only, like, I thought she was on point for almost all of it. There's only one scene that didn't really work where she's scolding Shanta and Danze for having invented a new drug and then testing it on themselves.
Right.
Because, like, maybe, like, 10 minutes earlier, Danze was also testing it on himself again, and, like, she was hanging out with him and just kind of keeping an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, why are you yelling at your daughter? This is literally her job. You made her do this.
Yeah.
It just rubbed me the wrong way, but for the most part, her motives totally make sense, and I think she's giving a good character. She wants to get out of the business. So, like, that's a classic sort of gangster archetype.
And Otto Jania has a lot of style with how he shoots this, which, again, kind of adds to that kind of the mixtures of tones. Like, these flashback scenes are kind of harrowing.
Yeah. It also reminded me a bit of Tar, that Harsh Vardhan Kapoor movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was also, like, extremely violent.
Yeah.
But, like, this one was more fun.
Yeah. But first, like, I was like, none of this doesn't remind me of Lydia Tarr.
No, but I have not seen
Lydia. I'm willing to.
I have not seen that, but like.
I'm willing to go with you.
The juxtaposition of like red blood.
I believe Dimple Kapadia could be the Cate Blanchett of Bollywood, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. like the kind of red blood versus all of these like sort of brownish, deserty type places.
Yeah.
Set off against these high tech underground drug labs. Mm-hmm. Like it has a consistent visual look to it. There's a sort of. I think it's a reservoir or something with a bunch of stairs carved into the side that Demon and Shanta kind of hang out at sometimes. Good visual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he knows how to shoot the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what really kind of
pulled... It's not as good as Mirzapur, or The Family Man. I think The Family Man's kind of like the high bar for action photography.
But I think...
And editing. But it's perfectly passable for a film or TV. It's good work.
Yeah, but I think, like, ultimately what pulled us in was that action scene at the end of the first episode. Like, it's so exciting.
It's also sexier than a movie could be. There's a lot more explicit sex scenes in this. No nudity still, but, like, still, like, as far as Hindi cinema goes, like, pretty sexy.
And, I mean, it's certainly a lot more violent. Yeah. Like, you know, that's kind of...
Yeah, it's... CGI violence.
Yeah, but, like, you can't compare it to, like, you can't compare it to, like, Thar, right? Because that was also, like, a streaming project. True. So, like, I would say it's a lot more...
It's a bit more detailed than something like Pathan, he's running around shooting a lot of guys, but they're not, like, dying in interesting, fun ways.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, I think John Wick has kind of made it so that every 3 or 4 seconds in a big fight... You have, like, a little bit that kind of intrigues you for a second as John Wick moves on to his next guy. Like, oh, that guy got knifed in a cool way. Or, oh, that guy, he tried to move, but then someone else shot him. Like, it keeps your interest that way.
But I do think that, like, kind of, like, the freedom on streaming is a bit of a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Because you can do things and you can show things that wouldn't be palatable to a wide release movie audience.
Mirzapur especially towed that line quite a bit.
Yeah, so you can do things
was richly rewarded.
Yeah, you can push further in terms of sex and violence and language and things you can show. But at the same time, you can do that to such an extent that, you know, you lose the point.
And it could be that directors also don't know how to use this power.
Yeah.
If they work primarily in cinematic indie film.
And I'm not entirely sure that Sass Bahu or Flamingo is always kind of successful in this balancing act of kind of, okay, we can now, like, show anything we want. Like, the limit is... The bar has been, or like the line has been moved.
No frontal nudity, basically.
Yeah, like the line's been moved.
Yeah.
We can, you know, show a lot more blood, show a lot more sex, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if it always kind of manages to not come across as sensational. I do think there's kind of some moments here that I'm just like, it just kind of...
Well, that was the fun surprise at the end of the first episode.
Like, that was the
fun
surprise.
Oh, wow. This actually goes really harder much harder than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. So I, like, honestly, like, midway through this, I thought, like, oh, I'm really not jiving with this. And then the last episode happened, and...
I think the second last episode is really good, too. I mean, again, that's maybe, like, 3 episodes you weren't that into. So it's not long.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a big sort of ceremony that they keep alluding to, and you could see how
it's
that affects
festival,
the community.
Yeah.
And then the last one is just kind of bonkers.
So do we want to go to spoiler zone?
I don't know. I don't know if I really want to. I think I would. I would encourage people to watch this show.
Yeah.
It dips a little bit, but on the whole, it's like solid throughout for me. It's not as good as The Family Man, but like As far as streaming Hindi shows go, I quite enjoyed it.
I would just say, like, have a strong stomach. It's pretty dark and pretty violent.
Sure. Yeah. Especially, yeah, Savitri's backstory, quite horrific. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it, but think Bandit Queen, for instance, mm-hmm. of the sort of things that happen mm-hmm. in the Outlands. But if you can deal with that, then you get the fun of gangster movies.
I just want to say that the last episode really swings for the fences in wild ways.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what happens.
And I have a lot of respect for it.
Yeah.
It went far pulpier than it had even up until that point.
It's verging on Mission Impossible territory.
Yeah, it's just like, it went so pulpy that I salute it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're done. This is a bit of a... Netflix and Dill are always designed to be a little shorter.
Just go watch it. It's eight episodes. What else are you doing? It's fun. You'll have a good time. This is a very easy recommendation, as long as you can deal with, like, increased sex and violence.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of this episode. The episode we have coming in 2 weeks is going to be a big one. What will we be discussing, Matt?
Okay, so I think about a year ago now, a bunch of Amitabh Bachchan's classic films were restored and shown in theaters in India. We were very jealous of this, mm-hmm. But, you know, happily, we were able to catch some of these at the Metro Cinema.
Yeah, three of them screened as part of the India Film Festival of Alberta.
Yeah, we didn't go see Sholay, because we have seen Sholay.
Yeah.
We went to go see Dawn, Aaron's favorite movie. One of them. But the big one, the big target for us was Deewar. The Yash Chopra, not YRF films, but still important film that kicked off the Angry Young Man mm-hmm. Cycle and made Amitabh Bachchan a superstar.
Yeah.
We were able to see that in basically the best quality you could possibly hope for in a not very packed theater.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 people there.
Yeah.
But it was great. We had a wonderful time.
Yeah, this film has been eluding us kind of since we started this show. So when we had the opportunity to see it, and not just like see it at home with like a, you know, a subpar transfer, but to go see it in
like on YouTube theaters, or something,
yeah. To go see it in theaters, it was quite a treat. So we're going to be discussing that in our next episode, and we'll be pairing it with something else. I was trying to find Trishul, which is kind of, you know, a reteaming of Chopra and Bachchan and Shashi Kapoor, but I can't find it with subs. It's on Z5 without subs.
That's always the problem.
So I think we might go with, like, fill in those Yash Chopra gaps. So I think we might go with Dog. Mm. So kind of fill in some of those 70s Yash Chopra.
If we could find it.
I'm pretty sure I found it. So, but if anyone knows where to see Trishul that's in a kind of accessible legal way that has subs, please let us know, because that would be the ideal. But yeah, we're finally going to be talking about Deewar. I'm very excited. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
At Bollywood Pod on Twitter, I refuse to call it X. At Matt_BOWES, at Aaron E. Fraser. Facebook.com/BollywoodForLovers. BollywoodIsForLovers.tumblr.com. Listen to Aaron's other show.
Yes. If you're a fan of the show, you can leave us a star rating and review on your podcatcher of choice. You can email us at BollywoodIsForLovers@gmail.com. Check out my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. And we want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork.
Yep.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.